This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
14 Septembers ago. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, September 11. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Today is the 14th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, in which 3,000 people were murdered in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Senate Democrats hand President Obama a victory on the controversial Iran nuclear deal, the largest foreign policy score of his second term.
Arizona authorities say the number of random vehicle shootings in the Phoenix area is now 11. Hear how the latest one occurred.
And the latest way airlines are trying to make your flying experience miserable.
The question becomes, why doesn't a 22-inch bag fit in a 22-inch box? Because the luggage industry, by and large, they measure bags by the size of the packing area. And they don't count the wheels and handles. And airlines do count the wheels and handles and build their sizers accordingly.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on the blurry line between carry-ons and checked bags. His maddening report in about 20 minutes. Well, today is the 14th anniversary of the terror attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Observances are planned across the country in remembrance of the day when four airplanes carried out suicide attacks on the U.S. President Obama will observe a public moment of silence this morning on the White House lawn. Meanwhile, the top NATO commander in Afghanistan, General John Campbell, spoke at a wreath-laying today in Kabul.
On that terrible day, the community of peace-loving nations was reminded that we must maintain our resolve and vigilance against those individuals and groups who would attack us and our way of life.
Elsewhere, a Florida man has been arrested and charged with trying to plan a bomb attack on a 9/11 memorial event in Kansas City this weekend. Authorities say 20-year-old Joshua Goldberg, described as an online troll who posted as an ISIS supporter, was arrested and charged with distributing information relating to weapons of mass destruction. He could get 20 years if convicted. The Kansas City 9/11 Memorial stair climb, by the way, will go on as planned on Sunday. President Obama has captured the largest foreign policy prize of his second term. An effort to kill his Iran nuclear agreement failed by two votes. The victory was sealed in a procedural vote yesterday when the Senate voted 58-42 on a measure aimed at derailing the international accord. It needed 60 votes. The House, meanwhile, isn't done with its own series of votes on the nuclear deal, which lifts economic sanctions against Iran in exchange for Tehran dialing back its nuclear program. But opponents now have no shot at passing legislation capable of unraveling it. House Armed Services Panel Chair Mike Rogers of Alabama.
I only hope that generations to come will not pay too high a price for the mistake of this president and what he's doing now.
Also among those not in favor, North Carolina Congressman Robert Pittenger, who joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Congressman, your take.
We collapse with Iran by is a ploy to get them to the negotiating table. The concession we made at the very beginning was to give them $700 million a month. And we did that for 16 months, $12 billion just as a concession to go to negotiate. And from that point on, we gave concession after concession, leaving the very clear commitments we had from the outset for Iran to self-inspect, for Iran to have secret agreements with IAEA and the United Nations. This is pure nonsense.
Let me ask you something. Go back to the very basics of this. Did we have to do some sort of deal now? Why did there seem to be, not that it was put together overnight, but why even do a deal?
Well, I think the economic pressure we were putting on Iran could have folded Iran. You know, in 2009, the students went to the streets in protest of the elections, and it was the Green Movement, we were silent. We did nothing to support them at this desperate hour and important hour for them. We've been silent ever since.
You know, on a somewhat related note, I remember speaking with Jerry Seib at the Wall Street Journal, who said this 15 years built into this agreement might be just enough time for the old leaders to actually die off and have new leaders take over. Is there any hope on that front, you think?
Well, I think that's wishful thinking, even that there would be 15 years. At any time have they been willing to abide by their agreements? I've met with the IAEA in Vienna. They have always been challenged. You know, they've always been restricted just to go to the agreed sites, those 17 sites. And, of course, now on the military sites, they've got a 24-day lag time. And in some parts, it's a self-inspection. This is pure nonsense. The fact that we can validate these inspections. So I think for anyone to believe that we actually even had 15 years is preposterous.
We're speaking with Congressman Robert Pittenger from North Carolina about the Iran nuclear agreement. Are you concerned that there are still details or side deals that are missing here and have not been made public?
Sure, to what we don't know as well. We're already aware that there's secret side deals, and we don't know really the extent of them. You know, Iran never declared all their sites. We only later on found out about the Fordo military site. They've never been forthcoming on anything, and so I think that's kind of the way their modus operandum. You know, the way we look at football, for example, a quarterback fakes a lateral and throws a pass. We don't say he's cheating. That's just part of the game. Well, this is just part of the game to them. It's irrelevant what they put down in writing. It's how they're going to play out the game.
All right. So, as you know, Israel is not happy with this. We initially saw the Iranians cheering in the street. That, to me, just from a casual observer standpoint, says something strange here.
Sure. I've been with the prime minister three times. The first time I was with him and subsequently asked the question, I said, Mr. Prime Minister, at such time that when we were referring to Iran, such time that you need America, do you believe that America will be there for you? And he talked in circles for two or three minutes and finally looked at me and said, Congressman, I didn't answer your question, did I? I said, no, sir, but I do understand.
Yeah.
What a travesty that our greatest friend, a democracy in the Middle East, the only real democracy, wouldn't know for certain that America would stand with them. And here they, in Iran, you know, this isn't just death to Iran. They're chanting in the streets, death to America. They hold a celebration every November of a Death to America Day. And we're under some illusion that the zebra stripes are going to change, that they're going to be different tomorrow than they were yesterday.
Thanks, Congressman. That is North Carolina Congressman Robert Pittenger, who represents the Charlotte area. By the way, public opinion of the nuclear accord has slipped over the summer, according to the Pew Research Center. In early September, just 21% approved of the agreement, down from 33% in mid-July, and nearly half now disapprove of it, up slightly from 45% in July. Critics say it provides permanent sanctions relief in exchange for temporary limitations on Iran's nuclear program. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can hook up on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can swap tweets directly with me with the handle @GordonDeal.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Good Friday morning. Thanks for being with us. Authorities in Arizona say if the random vehicle shootings continue, it's just a matter of time before someone is seriously injured or killed. Police in the Phoenix area say they are now investigating 11 confirmed shooting incidents within the past 2 weeks. Most reported along Interstate 10. The most recent one early yesterday morning, in which a truck driver found a bullet hole in the side of his tractor trailer. Colonel Frank Milstead is director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety. He's among those calling these shootings domestic terrorism.
We see this over and over again in our society right now, where everyday people going about their lives are victimized by some insane person doing crazy things for the joy of doing it or for notoriety.
The shootings have heightened fears of a possible serial shooter, and some motorists have started avoiding using freeways instead, taking city streets. No one's been seriously hurt in the shootings. Investigators say 8 of the damaged vehicles have been struck by bullets, while the 3 others were hit by BBs and pellets. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in an emotional interview that casts doubt over his deliberations about the 2016 presidential race, Vice President Joe Biden says he's overwhelmed at times by his son's death and unconvinced he could commit fully to being president. Biden was interviewed by Stephen Colbert last night on The Late Show.
You know, my dad had an expression. He used to say, "You know your success as a parent when you turn and look at your child and realize they turned out better than you." I was a hell of a success. My son was better than me.
With a level of candor seen rarely in politics, Biden recalled a breakdown of his emotions during a recent visit to a Colorado military base when a well-wisher yelled out his son's name. And there's a growing belief within the government that ISIS is making and using crude chemical weapons in Iraq and Syria. U.S. officials have identified at least 4 occasions on both sides of the Iraq-Syria border where ISIS has used mustard agents. A SWAT team killed a gunman last night after he led police on a long car chase through California's San Gabriel Valley, then ran into a crowded restaurant, firing into the air and seized at least 4 hostages. Mike Parker of the L.A. Sheriff's Department says authorities shot the suspect after entering the building.
A deputy-involved shooting occurred in the restaurant. I have not yet confirmed whose firearm caused the suspect's death.
At least 4 people were being held against their will inside a barbecue restaurant in Downey. A Marine was killed and 18 others were injured yesterday in a vehicle rollover accident at Camp Pendleton. Officials are investigating the accident and haven't released details about the conditions of the injured. Air safety investigators say the serious fire that heavily damaged a British Airways jet in Las Vegas earlier this week involved an uncontained engine failure, a rare event that's the first on a GE90 engine since its introduction in 1995. All 170 passengers and crew safely evacuated the burning jet. And former NBC News anchor Brian Williams will return to the air on September 22nd as part of MSNBC's coverage of Pope Francis's visit to the U.S. Williams lost his job as anchor of NBC's Nightly News and was suspended for 6 months after lying about his role covering certain news stories.
I'm sorry, what's his name? It's a Brian.
He's coming back.
He's been gone a long time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. The latest headache waiting for you at the airport. Measurements that rule your carry-on bag is too big, even though you bought it with exact dimensions required by airlines. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney has been exploring the issue. Here's his riddle. When is 22 inches not 22 inches? The answer? On a plane. Scott, what's up here?
I've had a 22-inch Travel Pro rollerboard bag for 20 years. I've actually had a couple of them because I like the bag. And it's 22 inches, and Travel Pro says it's 22-inch bags fit 22-inch airline sizers and comply with all that. And most airlines are at 22 inches for the height of a rollerboard bag. And I was boarding a British Airways flight, and they were insisting that everybody put their carry-on bags in their sizer, and mine didn't fit in the box, and so it had to be checked.
Wow.
And then I saw American Airlines doing the same thing with a sizer box at the gate, forcing most everybody to put their bags in the box, and this seems to be happening more and more, where airlines are getting really stringent with their sizing. And then the question becomes, why doesn't a 22-inch bag fit in a 22-inch box?
Yeah.
And then the answer is because the luggage industry, by and large, although some have changed recently, but by and large, they measure bags by the size of the packing area, and they don't count the wheels and handles. And airlines do count the wheels and handles and build their sizers accordingly. So I went to Travel Pro and said, how come your 22-inch bag doesn't fit in sizers? And they said, but it does. And I said, well, what sizer are you using? And they said, United. Well, it turns out United sizer does have an inch of grace in it. Huh. And so you just have this whole confusing mess of varying sizes on airlines, varying sizes and standards in the luggage industry, and it's become really difficult for travelers to be sort of street legal with their carry-on bags.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. He's got a piece entitled The New Thin Line Between Carry-On and Checked Bags. How badly did you want to pick up the bag and then repeatedly slam it on the floor until the wheels came off and then put it back in the sizer?
You know, I was with my wife when it happened, and you know, I of course, like everybody else, I started arguing, and I know the limits and know, you know, when to stop. There are consequences to it and all, and it's an employee who's been told to this is what the rules are and this is how you enforce them and all that. But you know, it's sort of incredulous. I mean, I've, you know, traveled for 20 years for a bag that's been in overhead bins on every conceivable plane you could think of, and I know it's going to fit on the in the overhead bin of the plane that I'm about to get on. And you know, what's the problem?
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, Fiorina will appear in primetime.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, September 11. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Senate Democrats hand Obama a victory on Iran. 11 confirmed vehicle shootings now in Arizona. 14th anniversary of 9/11 today. Allegations that intel on ISIS was being doctored to match the Obama administration's descriptions of the war. Members of Congress plan to investigate. Fiorina will be in the primetime debate next Wednesday. Trump visits Fallon this evening. And the best places to find a job if you don't have a college degree. That list of cities in 20 minutes. Well, the stage for next week's Republican presidential debate has gotten a little more crowded. CNN, which will host the second debate next Wednesday at the Reagan Library in California, announced yesterday that businesswoman Carly Fiorina will be the 11th person added to the primetime group. Meanwhile, Ms. Fiorina is part of the focus of a story by Emma Roller at National Journal, which explains how super PACs are doing a lot of the work normally done by a campaign staff. Emma, what have you witnessed?
At the events that I went to, the campaign events for Carly Fiorina, there was no visible advance presence from the campaign. But what I did notice was that at every stop, the super PAC that supports her, a super PAC called Carly for America, would set up a table ahead of time, have signs that say Carly for America put up around the room. They would be distributing stickers to attendees and, you know, have pro-Fiorina literature around. So basically, when the Fiorina campaign would show up to these events, the event would already have had the advance work taken care of effectively by this super PAC.
Interesting. All right, so this means what? That the Fiorina campaign itself might not have the money or staffers, so it's leaning on the super PAC?
Well, certainly it's a lot easier for super PACs to raise more money since they have unlimited contribution limits. I guess what this suggests more than anything is how super PACs and campaigns are more and more blurring the lines of independence this cycle. And it's not just the Fiorina campaign. You see it with, you know, Rick Perry's super PACs that support him and have been able to keep paying staffers while the Kerry campaign itself has had to let go of staffers in key primary states. You also see it on the left with Hillary Clinton's campaign. There is a group called American Bridge for the 21st Century, and one group called Correct the Record, which is led by Clinton allies, that does a lot of opposition research work that in the past would have fallen to campaign staffers. So I think what you're seeing more and more of is super PACs taking on more responsibilities that in the past would have fallen to campaign staff.
We're speaking with Emma Roller, 2016 campaigns reporter for National Journal. So if not for the super PAC help, might an outsider like Carly Fiorina not be able to keep up the schedule she's keeping?
Right. Well, that's the argument that's being made about a lot of candidates. Rick Perry, for instance, his campaign has had to stop paying staffers in Iowa and South Carolina. Meanwhile, his super PAC is still chugging along and still able to spend money, but they are not allowed to coordinate with the campaign, which makes things tricky for these campaigns. It's sort of a blessing and a curse for a campaign because there's all this extra money that's flowing into the super PAC, which are led by allies of the campaign, but they also have legally no power to oversee how that money is being spent because they can't coordinate with each other, or at least they're not supposed to.
So others who might be relying on this, you mentioned Perry. So somebody like a Trump does not need this, for example, or somebody who has little trouble fundraising doesn't necessarily need this kind of help?
Well, Trump's an interesting example, right, because he has said that he is self-funding his campaign, and certainly he has a lot more money than any other candidate out there, I suppose. But he has been shown to be going to fundraisers, and so it's just a fact of life for candidates now that you have to be fundraising because it's, you know, if you aren't, then your opponent is, and your opponent is beating you.
Thanks. I'm Emma Roller at National Journal. By the way, going back to the debate, the one Wednesday will be 8 o'clock Eastern. An earlier debate at 6 o'clock Eastern will feature Republicans who have finished outside the top 10 in an aggregate of polls. Those would include Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham, Bobby Jindal, and George Pataki. It's 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Hey guys, if you're into fantasy football, you've got to check out FanDuel.com. At FanDuel, you play in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. You only play when you want, and you can change your team any week. FanDuel's paying out over $75 million a week this season. Plus, right now, FanDuel is giving you a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Go to FanDuel.com and enter the promo code FF1000. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code FF1000.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, September 11th. Time now look at our weekly check and things we've been searching for the most online. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Lauren Verruccio. Morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
I want to start first off with this Stephen Colbert clip.
With this show, as many people have asked, of this show, I begin the search for the real Stephen Colbert. I just hope I don't find him on Ashley Madison.
All right, so he got things going with his debut this week.
He did. About 6.5 million viewers tuned in for his premiere. The premiere featured George Clooney, among many others. He's had a slated top guest list this week. And what we also found, looking into last night, he had the Uber CEO on, who was disrupted by a protester. Apparently, the protester claimed the CEO is ruining New York City taxi industry. So he's had hot, star-studded guests. He's had controversy already. And he's had a lot of laughs, so a lot of people are tuning in already.
All right, very good. How about the NFL season kickoff, obviously, with Game 1 last night?
Yeah, the Steelers took on the Patriots. The Patriots beat the Steelers 28-21. But the Patriots were also in the headlines this week as new spying allegations surfaced. There are allegations that the Patriots videotaped opponents from 2000 to 2007. And apparently, Commissioner Goodell knew about it. He worked to cover it up. And Deflategate scandal was a mere makeup case for the handling of Spygate in 2007. So I'm sure we'll see a lot more coming from that.
All right, those are the charges. All right, so Obama sick leave making news as well.
Yes, President Obama signed a new executive order this week requiring federal contractors to let employees earn up to 7 days of paid sick leave each year. This will give about 300,000 working Americans access to paid sick leave for the first time.
Very good. We're speaking with Lauren Verruccio, Google Trends expert, who's with us live this morning. We're examining the things we searched most for online the past few days. Queen Elizabeth II making a record.
This is a fun one. As of this week, Queen Elizabeth II became Britain's longest reigning monarch, surpassing the record set by her great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria. And to celebrate on Google Maps, we featured a royal version Pegman as Queen Elizabeth, accurately dubbed Peg Ma'am. So very cool for Queen Elizabeth.
I want to finish up, too, with this this trending YouTube video of Serena Williams. Here's a clip.
Wow, what a shot.
So much intensity. So much passion. Serena Williams makes history.
All right, so explain the Serena video.
This is awesome. It's a Gatorade commercial, so I'll give them the props on this one. The ad is titled Unmatched, and it basically took Serena Williams a TV clip interview when she was a kid. And the interviewer asked, you know, who do you want to be if you were a tennis player? Who would you want to be like? And Williams smiles, and it goes through all of these career highlights throughout the video, and it closes with going back to the 11-year-old Serena, who says, well, I'd like other people to be like me. Definitely grew up to reach that stature.
No question. Lauren, thanks for a few minutes. As always, that video, by the way, 10 million views on YouTube and counting. 14 minutes before the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. So working class jobs with decent pay are still around, but some cities offer significantly more opportunities for those with less than a bachelor's degree. New research from the Federal Reserve Banks of Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Atlanta shows the wide geographical disparity for what they call opportunity occupations. These are jobs that often pay better than median wages and don't require a four-year degree. The top 10 metro areas for jobs with decent pay with no bachelor's degree are number one, the Louisville, Kentucky, and Jefferson County, Indiana area. Number two, Birmingham, Hoover, Alabama. Number three, Toledo, Ohio. Number four, Springfield, Mass. Number five, St. Louis. Number six, Kansas City, Missouri. Number seven, the greater Cleveland area. Number eight, it's the Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Allis, Wisconsin area. Number nine, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And number 10, the Des Moines and West Des Moines area in Iowa. 8 minutes before the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Reported authorities in Arizona are investigating 11 confirmed shooting incidents within 2 weeks, most reported along the I-10 that include a confirmed gunshot early yesterday that left a hole in the side of a commercial tractor trailer. Arizona Department of Public Safety spokesman Bart Graves says this person or persons will be caught.
To be vigilant, to be aware of what's going on, to report anything they see that's suspicious by the side of the road or on the road, and they're doing that. We're getting a lot of calls.
The shootings have rattled nerves and heightened fears, and some motorists have changed their driving routes. Next week's primetime Republican presidential debate will feature 11 candidates, including surging businesswoman Carly Fiorina. Joining Fiorina and frontrunner Donald Trump will be Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, and Rand Paul. The earlier debates will feature the lower pollers, Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham, Bobby Jindal, and George Pataki. The CNN events will take place in California. Vice President Joe Biden didn't use his appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert as a springboard for his potential White House bid. In an emotional interview with only a scarce joke mixed in, Biden talked about his late son, Beau, and the fact that he has not yet decided about a presidential run. He'll reportedly decide by October 1st. Observances are planned across the country today in remembrance of the day when four airplanes carried out suicide attacks on the U.S. President Obama, along with his wife and White House staff, will observe a public moment of silence this morning on the White House lawn. In the afternoon, the president will hold a town hall meeting with service members at Fort Meade. When it comes to money, college students aren't as smart as they think they are. About 57% gave themselves high marks for their financial literacy in a new survey, compared with just 12% who rated their money smarts as poor or terrible. But nearly half reported having less than $100 in the bank. The CPAs behind the survey say millennials are careless with either their money, their lack of knowledge, or putting wants before needs.
I thought this group, though, you know, learned lessons of the recession and therefore was putting that to work.
I don't think so.
Not the case here.
Nah.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to earn commissions of up to 20% by laundering millions of foreign dollars?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve,
Barracuda's email security solutions keep email phishing attacks like this from entering your business network and any valuable data from leaking out. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about stopping email-borne threats, visit barracuda.com/email.
Thanks for being with us. We'll finish with this. A trending social media topic emerged yesterday on the eve of 9/11. A rainbow that appeared to be coming from One World Trade Center was making the rounds, with folks on places like Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook sharing the pictures using hashtags like Never Forget and hashtag Remember 9/11. Meanwhile, 14 years after terrorists destroyed the nation's greatest office complex, USA Today says the rebuilding of the World Trade Center and the revival of Lower Manhattan crawls along. Over the last 12 months, the troubled Trade Center building site has witnessed no major milestones. Instead, there's been unspectacular and incremental progress that's barely noticeable. However, on September 11, 2001, about 20,000 people lived in Lower Manhattan. In the months that followed, about half of them left. Today, the area's population, though, is 70,000 and rising. And on Wednesday of this week, in a sign of the times, a new public elementary school opened to accommodate the growing number of children. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.